Growth in the economic wonder down under is slowing. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. We start in Hong Kong, where the city's benchmark stock index surged more than 4% after reports the city's chief executive, Carrie Lam, has withdrawn an extradition bill that sparked violent protests in the city, now in their 13th week. Wei Du, Channel News Asia's correspondent in Hong Kong, spoke to me a block away from the central government offices.
Remember, the protesters have said they have five demands. They are not willing to go home unless all the five demands have been met. I've been talking to a political analyst, and a lot of people are saying, actually, if they promise two demands, which is the withdrawal and the independent inquiry, more than half the people are going to go home. But if it's just the withdrawal alone, a lot of these young people who's been really at the front line fighting the police officers, they won't be willing to give this up. It's still going to be a major headache for businesses operating in Hong Kong.
Now, just this hour, Cathay Pacific said its chairman will leave in November. He stayed on a couple of weeks ago as the CEO was pushed out amid controversy over employees participating in the Hong Kong protests. How significant do you think this latest shakeup is?
I'm not sure it's exactly surprising to anyone because local media reports, especially the South China Morning Post, has reported that the founding family of the Swire company, that's the owner of Cathay Pacific, who specifically went to Beijing, and they were told that the entire management of Cathay had to go out. So it could have been that they were just doing this in batches, so it doesn't rock the boat too much. To me, it's hardly surprising.
Wei Du speaking to me there. Let's do the numbers. Shares in Asia were lifted by the flurry of news out of Hong Kong today. The Shanghai Composite ended up nearly 1%. That's despite data showing Hong Kong's private sector activity slowed to its worst level in 10 years. Meanwhile, here in the UK, the British pound is rallying after a group, including lawmakers from the governing party, gained enough support to try and block a no-deal Brexit in Parliament tonight. UK stocks are also higher on hopes of avoiding a so-called hard exit from the European Union. That's also giving a boost to European share markets. Germany's DAX is up 1.2%. Australia's economy grew at its slowest pace since 2009, according to fresh figures out today. Annual growth slowed to 1.4% from 3.3% this time last year. That poses a possible threat to the country's 29 years of uninterrupted expansion. The BBC's Phil Mercer has more from Sydney.
I think the Australian economy, once known as the wonder down under, is certainly faltering. There are several drags. Household consumption and house building are both down. Business investment is lagging some way behind where the government would like it to be too. Retail figures show that previous interest rate cuts here have so far failed to ignite consumer spending.
So what's hitting consumers? Why the slowing demand?
There's a nervousness about the place. There have been house price falls, and that weighs on the confidence of consumers. And I think it's that word confidence that really lies at the heart of this. People, if they get tax cuts that have been promised, they're more likely to save them than spend them. And also wages have been very stagnant. People are tightening their belts because they do worry and wonder what's around the corner.
And speaking of wondering what's around the corner, it's not just the domestic issues in Australia weighing on consumers, right? It's long-running global trade spats that are also hitting the economy there.
Concerns over a potential impact of a US-China trade war weigh very, very heavily on sentiment here. There's a concern, too, that perhaps if China catches an economic cold, then Australia could suffer. 40% of Australia's exports go to China. A decade ago, it was half that amount. So Australia is very much dependent on what happens in China. And there are concerns that if something happens or something goes awry in the Chinese economy, that could have quite serious consequences for Australia.
Phil Mercer in Sydney, thank you so much.
Thank you.
To Brussels now, where former International Monetary Fund boss Christine Lagarde is right now fielding questions from the European Parliament on her credentials to lead the European Central Bank. So far, she's told the Committee on Economic Affairs that highly accommodative monetary policy for a prolonged period remains necessary, but that the ECB needs to be mindful of the negative side effects of these tools. If she's confirmed later this month, Christine Lagarde will be the first woman to hold the position, and it's one of the Eurozone's top jobs. But Carsten Bresky, chief economist for ING in Germany, says this appearance probably won't shed more light on the kind of ECB president Ms. Lagarde will be.
Christine Lagarde is a professional, and she has been briefed by the European Central Bank. So the answers she gave to all the questions are really pre-cooked. It is the official ECB line, so no real surprises.
Now, in a 48-page answer sheet that you just referred to, she sent before appearing on this panel today, Ms. Lagarde lays out her career experience. She says in all the positions that she's held that she's been exposed to business and financial matters. Is that her maybe trying to quell concerns that she doesn't come from a strong enough economic background?
I think it is. When you look at the European treaties, the ECB president should have really some expertise in either monetary or banking affairs. And I think for her, it is important to make the point she has been Minister of Finance. She has been heading the International Monetary Fund. So she has this big experience in economics and finance, even though she is not a trained economist.
Now, there's been a trendy move by investors into so-called green investments, companies that are more environmentally friendly. The ECB in the past hasn't based its own purchase decisions on environmental criteria, but Christine Lagarde says that climate change is one of the most pressing global challenges facing society today. So, you know, with all this talk of more bond buying at the central bank kind of to prop up the ailing European economy, could she make a big move to change that policy and try to green the financial system?
Yeah, I think Lagarde could make this one of her spare points in her legacy. So we saw already the door opening when the new chief economist at the ECB, Philip Lane, he already mentioned green bonds, climate change as one potential priority for the ECB in the coming years. So together with Lagarde, it could very well be that the ECB will focus on, for example, buying more green bonds, focusing more on sustainability. And when you add to that the high need for fiscal stimulus in Europe, coming up with a very green agenda, this could be a unique selling point for the European economy in this global competition in the years ahead.
That's Carsten Breske from ING in Germany speaking to me there. Finally, Amsterdam plans to start finding vendors who sell balloons filled with laughing gas, that's nitrous oxide, if you're wondering, on the streets or at its festivals in the city. The city's mayor claims the move is to cut down on the use of single-use plastics. Let us know how you're cutting down on your use of single-use plastics at home. We're at the hashtag BBC Marketplace. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.